Welcome back, everyone, to the Green Medicine Radio Show on AM 570 KVI. This is Dr. John Sherman from the Tahoma Clinic in Tukwila, Washington. And I have the honor to be interviewing the author of the book, How to End the Autism Epidemic, Mr. J.B. Handley. And J.B., I've got a caller on the line. Charlie is calling from Buckley. He has a question about vaccines. Hello, Charlie.
How are you doing?
Good, good. What's your question?
Well, I have a lot of questions before this segment, but can I ask you real fast, Doc, about is berberine made from Oregon grape?
Yes.
And yeah. What part do you use? The roots or the leaves? Or
The berberine is extracted from the whole plant. So,
okay.
And you can buy it individually just by itself. So,
right. But no, we have Oregon grape growing all over our.
Yeah, that's where it comes from.
Right, right. So, yeah, my question is about the vaccine. My question is that they really pushed the pneumonia and flu shot, especially to older people, and those babies aren't cheap. And then where are they, most of them made? What country, or are they made here, or what?
Do you want me to take that question?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so a couple comments about the flu vaccine. First of all, in any year, the odds of the flu vaccine being effective is somewhere between 20% and 30%, and even the Centers for Disease Control would acknowledge that. There's a amazing editor in the British Medical Journal. His name is Peter Doshi, D-O-S-H-I. He writes extensively about the flu vaccine and how the number of deaths from flu vaccine is massively overstated, and the marketing for the flu vaccine has ramped up in line with the making of the flu vaccine. It's my understanding that most flu vaccine is actually made in this country. But I think that there's a lot of pretty incredible science out there about flu vaccine. There was a science done out of Canada that showed that the more often people received the flu vaccine, meaning in successive years, the more vulnerable they were to flu and other diseases, which sort of makes sense that over time it massively weakens the immune system. I would personally tell people that I'm very skeptical of the flu vaccine and the benefits. It clearly has side effects. You can go to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is run by our Department of Health and Human Services, and you will see a set of table injuries, meaning injuries that are accepted outcomes of flu vaccine. And one of the most notable that I hear a lot of stories about is Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a form of paralysis. And so I think that people should be cynical towards the flu vaccine, that a little bit of research looking at people like Peter Doshi will really wake them up. And there are far better ways to protect your immune system, things like vitamin D and not consuming a lot of sugar. And I'm sure many of the other things that people would find in your naturopathic clinic would be a great substitute to a flu vaccine.
Sure.
Excellent. So, thanks for – you got another question, Charlie?
In your research, I've heard some bad stories about women that are that were pregnant taking Tylenol. And had you found anything, you know, with these new conditions that children have, anything related to Tylenol itself?
Yeah, let me interject there. Acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. The relationship between acetaminophen and autism, the published science is growing. I think I can say with conviction that no child should receive Tylenol for any reason. I think their science is disturbing enough about the way in which acetaminophen specifically reduces the ability of a child to produce glutathione is disturbing. And I think in a more honest and open regulatory market, the FDA would already have said that acetaminophen is no longer okay for children. And so if it's not okay for children, it's obviously not okay for pregnant women. And I think that any pediatrician who happens to be listening to this show, I think it's horrifying if they're choosing to still encourage parents post-vaccination to give a child Tylenol. I think that's a recipe for disaster. And again, I think the published science on acetaminophen's relationship to neurological disorders and an understanding of what it does at a cellular level means that it really should be pulled from the market and avoided by pregnant women or babies.
Sure.
Thanks for your question, Charlie.
Thank you.
You bet.
I'm glad he raised the topic of Tylenol. I think that
because that often is given.
You know, one of the things that I would tell parents, you know, as much as I can sit here and dole out advice, the unfortunate reality is I didn't follow any of my own advice. In 2002, I was blindly ignorant to all these topics, and I ceded 100% of the responsibility to a local pediatrician. And as my son got sicker and sicker, that pediatrician's ability to explain what was happening got less and less. And that's when you sort of, the blinders come off when you realize, Jesus, I'm on my own here. And so things like Tylenol and vaccines, I just accepted what the pediatrician told us. All I wanted to do was keep my children safe. This person was an expert. I was a layperson. Of course, nothing could go wrong. And then you watch your child decline precipitously, physically, and the blinders come falling off.
I would say the most proficient parents who do research are parents of autistic children. It's just unbelievable what they're willing to do and how to take care of their kids. And one question I had was, is it the heavy metals in the vaccine, like thimerosal or aluminum, or is it the vaccinations themselves, or is it the combination?
It's a very confusing topic, and I'll try to clarify, and it's a great question. We have two different heavy metals that really deserve to be highlighted. The first is thimerosal, which is 50% ethyl mercury. And the reason that thimerosal is in a vaccine is as an antibacterial, okay? So thimerosal is only in what we call multi-dose vials. So if a nurse has to go draw a vaccine out of a vial that contains 10 liquid for 10, that vial will have thimerosal in it because it's there to prevent bacteria being introduced to the vial from somehow, you know, corrupting what's in the vial. Thimerosal was largely removed from children's vaccines by making every vaccine a single-dose vial. If it's a single-dose vial, you don't need thimerosal. It was the first flag for parents of children with autism as a possible explanation for why all these children were developing autism after their vaccinations. But part of my book is about the extraordinarily compelling and very new science that's been published since about 2005 that actually implicates the aluminum in the vaccine as what I believe is the primary trigger of autism. And the reason for that is that aluminum's purpose in a vaccine is very, very different from thimerosal's purpose. Aluminum's purpose is to hyperstimulate the immune system. And the reason that it does this is because it's an extreme agitator to the immune system. And the reason that aluminum is an extreme agitator is that it's not ionic aluminum. It's not natural aluminum that's in the vaccine. It's what we call nanoparticulate aluminum. And the body has no idea what to do with it. And so when you inject it into the body, it gets a massive response from the immune system. And during that massive response, if there's something else that's there that's present, like the antigen of a disease, there's a chance for immunity to be developed. That's why aluminum is used. A vaccine wouldn't work in most cases without the aluminum. What we've now learned is that because the immune system is hyperstimulated, something called a macrophage, which is the garbage man of our immune system, grabs that aluminum, and it ultimately ends up in the baby's brain. And when it gets to the baby's brain, it creates an immune response in the brain because the brain has its own immune system. We call that an immune activation event, which creates a bunch of inflammation in the brain. And if this immune activation event happens to take place during critical phases of brain development, autism can be the result. And so we have this very clear path from kind of A to B to C. You inject the aluminum, it hyperstimulates the immune system, it goes to the brain and does the same thing, and the baby develops autism. We do know that the aluminum plus an antigen seems to be even more neurotoxic. Either is neurotoxic, but we're just getting studies done finally. You know, the CDC has claimed for years out of science is settled on this. That's simply a fallacy. There's no truth to that at all. They hadn't done biological science, which is where you inject animals with these various components of vaccines, until very recently. And there was a great study done out of China that I talk about in detail on my blog, JB Hanley blog, where they injected mice with hepatitis B vaccine and other mice with a placebo. And then they looked at what the difference in the outcomes of their brains were. And the mice who received the hepatitis B vaccine suffered massive brain damage. And so we now have clear, unequivocal biological evidence, and not only brain damage, and not to get too wonky on everybody, but we actually know biomarkers for autism. We have these things called cytokines, which are inflammatory markers when our immune system reacts. And there's some very specific cytokines that are associated with autism. For example, there's something that we call IL-6. IL-6, if anybody Googled that and autism, they'd get a bunch of scientific studies. Well, these mice given the hepatitis B vaccine had very high levels of IL-6. And so we're getting very clear cause and effect for how exactly a vaccine can get escorted into the brain and trigger autism.
Great. JB, I need to take another break, and we're going to take more questions after that. Thanks.